Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman, and this is your hour to ask any legal questions you have, because I'm joined in the studio by my co-host, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
Hello, Dave.
How are you?
Good, thanks. You know, when we don't have Kyle here and Larry's at the board, do you ever notice that the audience is more subdued?
You could hear crickets almost right now, and I don't know why.
Yeah,
even though he played the sound effect. And, he's on it.
He's there. Folks, if you need to get into touch with David and I this morning, you can always reach us at 215-227-2727. That's right. It's the number to call in Philadelphia when you've got legal issues in your life, no matter what they are. We'll try to help you. If we can't, we'll get you situated with somebody who might be able to. 215-227-2727. That gets you into the studio at Court Radio Sunday mornings as well. It's the legal number. So there's a lot of stuff going on around Philadelphia today, David. We're going to talk about all of it, but every last topic. Pennsylvania is actually attempting to increase the speed limit for the highways in the Commonwealth from 65 max to 70. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I don't know what the reason would be, other than to like as you said right before we went on, speed commerce from getting from A to B, because it certainly isn't, you know, how quickly must people get to their destination before they fly off the roads and kill each other?
In
more numbers than they do now.
Well, Jefferson County, do you even know where Jefferson County is?
I don't.
No, I don't either. Well, if anybody's listening from Jefferson County, please give us a call and tell us where you are in the Commonwealth. You know, there's so many counties in the Commonwealth. But anyway, Jefferson County, you know who knows every county? It's only politicians.
Yeah,
they're right. The only ones who care about that.
That's right.
Jefferson County Republican, his name is Scarnati.
Joe Scarnati.
Yeah, Joe Scarnati. He's actually the Senate President Pro Tempore. A little Italian in the
there you go.
Sunday morning. He says it's necessary. It's good to move traffic faster, and it moves goods around the Commonwealth quicker. I don't know. I was on my way up this past week to, like, up to the Poconos area.
Okay.
And traffic was moving, I would say, at about, the average speed would be about 80 miles an hour.
Right.
You know, the speed limit's 65, but the average speed is about 80, 85.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. There's that, everyone knows that unwritten rule. I don't know where it came from, but there's that unwritten rule that whatever the speed limit is, you could really drive about 10 miles over it or less, 10 miles per hour or less, and you won't get stopped. There's like that unwritten rule. So if it's 60, you can drive 70.
Right.
If you're over 70, you got to watch out for cops. But if you're under 70 and it's posted as 60, you're okay. And 65, 75.
I think that unwritten rule might have gotten increased, but you didn't get the memo.
I didn't get the memo, yeah.
I'm telling you, 80, 85, and if you were going 65, the maximum, cars were blowing you off the road.
You know, here's the deal with that, and I'm just as guilty as everyone else. You're on the highway, when you go, you know, you're going 85, everyone else is, you feel like this isn't, you know, 85 is 85, we're moving, everything's fine. The issue is if something happens and you need to react, and you're going 85 miles an hour, forget it. You're done.
How about 85, drinking coffee, and texting?
Right. And you have to stop suddenly. Yeah, forget
stop.
It.
You didn't even know you had to stop.
Right.
You're into Jefferson County before you know you have to stop. 215-227-2727. That's what Court Radio's new number is, folks. That's right. It's the My Philly Lawyer number. If you need to get in touch with us during the week and on Sunday mornings, all you got to do is call 215-227-2727. Let's hit up Anonymous here on line one. Good morning and welcome to Court Radio.
Anonymous.
Hello.
Hi. I wanted to know if a victim was shot and was taken to the hospital, what I'm going to say, Is the police violating the victim's rights if you bring the possible shooter in front of a minor to ask the minor, is this the shooter?
Is violating the rights?
No.
No.
What rights? Yeah,
sir?
Well, they want to try to, they want to try to make an arrest as quickly as possible and get the, and identify the potential shooter while it's still fresh in the person's mind. However, if what you're saying is that they deprive that person of necessary and important medical attention in order to do that, I think that would be wrong. I think that would.
Or they didn't consult with the parents to say, can my child view this person? I don't know if there's a strong argument for that, but.
Okay. No, they didn't. I understand they were probably trying to.
What's the right that was violated?
A quick conviction, but it was like, the person, the possible shooter, did get a chance to really see.
The victim
face, and
right.
It's like this person is on the streets now, and it's like, would this person be in jeopardy now?
I see your point.
And how good an identification is it if it's not done appropriately? Line up,
right?
That whole thing it jeopardizes the identification and jeopardizes the shooter. It sounds to me like it would not be a great idea, but maybe we can have.
No, I think what you said, Dean. They wanted to get the potential shooter off the streets as quickly as possible. I don't know if any of that idea would be admissible or anything like that, but it's probably an immediate urgency that they're doing it, and it doesn't make much sense though. If legally speaking, it's not going to really be a good thing, but
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. I hope everything works out for you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Hey, going back to traffic real quick, I have to give you a quick story.
Yeah.
I was down on South Street on Friday night.
You were playing music.
I played music and I played it.
I'm so proud of you.
You're proud of me. Wow.
You're so multifaceted, You're right. A lawyer, you're a
musician,
a radio host.
And a musician, yeah.
And a musician.
Anyway, I played at the legendary Dobbs.
Dobbs, yeah.
And it's great. I have nothing bad to say about anything, except we're speaking about traffic. Okay, here's my quick story. 6:30. The show starts later, okay? 6:30, I drive down there. South Street. It's crazy at all times. But Dobbs, if you're familiar, is right on the corner of, I think it's 3rd and South.
Right.
So I pull up. There's a 15-foot area where you can't park your car up to the corner. And behind that is all the parking spaces. So I pull up to the area where you're not allowed to park. Because I have to unload my car. I play drums, so I have a lot of stuff in there. And I pull it up, put my blinkers on. Dobbs is open because they're expecting me and others to come in. I literally open up my car, I have only a handful of things, run into Dobbs, throw it down. It couldn't have taken more than 45 seconds. And as I come out, there's a parking authority person.
Meter man.
G. Williams. Okay.
Is that an old term, a meter maid?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, writing up on his electronic thing a ticket, and I said, sir, you must have seen me pull up here. I haven't even my car's still warm. I'm not staying here. I'm leaving. I just had to drop this stuff off. Wouldn't look at me, wouldn't even acknowledge I was talking to him, and keeps on typing. And I said, you're typing, you could stop. I'm here, I'm leaving. Nope. Gave $76 ticket. Now,
you're going to fight it?
I am going to fight it.
All right.
And
all right.
Can I, well, now I was going to ask you,
will
Dean,
you come back on the court radio to tell us about
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Can I, now I'm asking you, Dean, because I'm not familiar. I haven't fought a ticket but isn't there the new thing where you can demand that the person. G. Williams.
Yes, it's an upcoming show of Court Radio,
yeah,
actually,
right, right.
Where we're going to have somebody on who actually brought that case before the court and won the right. to cross-examine the meter
should
man.
I should bring a video thing with me. We should tape this whole thing
yes,
for the radio.
Yes.
G. Williams, I'm coming for you.
Yes.
Okay, G. Williams, you are a rude person, and I am coming after you. I did not deserve that ticket.
This is the traffic wars.
Traffic wars, yes.
Yeah.
I'm part of the war now.
You are. You're on the front line of the war, and I'm going to be right behind you. So you, this is a.
Do I need to go with a lawyer, or can I represent myself?
Well, you can go with a lawyer, but a lawyer such as myself is going to charge you.
I'll go by myself.
Yeah, I suggest you go by yourself.
Yeah, I know.
It's the more efficient.
It's just outrage, though. That couldn't even talk.
And no, it is outrageous.
Oh, by the way. Oh, okay. Wait. Finish my story real quick, and we'll move on. We have a guest today.
Folks, 215-227-2727. You're listening to my co-host, David Rappaport, who obviously is still perturbed.
Right. So what do I do?
He got a ticket.
So what do? I take the ticket. I get in my car. I have to drive around now and find a spot. So I pull up on 4th Street, right next to the famous Jim Steaks, which I love. And I pull up.
You go from one drinking or eating establishment to the next.
And I find a spot. And this now, as you know, there's
a look into the madness of David Rappaport.
There's no meters anymore. There's kiosks. So I park, and 2 or 3 cars away is the kiosk. I walk to the kiosk. No sooner do I get to the kiosk, and there's a meter maid standing in front of my car. Of course, I don't have a ticket on it yet, a parking thing from the kiosk, because I'm putting the money in the kiosk.
Right.
So I yell over to, that's my car. Oh, okay. My point now is they are unbelievably ruthless on South Street, that area. No wonder no one wants to come down to the city.
Right.
If I lived in the suburbs and I didn't come down to the city that much and that happened.
Yeah. You wouldn't be back.
No, I'd be. This is ridiculous.
You'd be in Doylestown.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it is. There is a level. I know the city has to make money, but come on.
Well, actually,
crazy.
Yeah, I think that the parking authority is kind of run by the Commonwealth now.
Well, they are all over.
Not to stick salt in your wound, Mr. Rappaport, but I believe the parking authority is run by the Republicans.
Oh, my God.
There you go.
No wonder.
215-227-2727.
Okay, so that's my story.
That's your story, and you're sticking to it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk to Mary from Camden online too. Hey, Mary, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, I purchased a home 3 years ago.
Yes,
and since 3 years, I've been changed from loan lenders, from the loan people.
Yes,
and is that legal? And where does your equity go?
Okay, so what are you saying that your loan is sold from one lender to another? And your equity
can answer that.
Well, the balance continues to go down as you make your payments, and as they move from one lender to another, your balance is less. It doesn't stay the same. The equity is the value in the house in excess of your balance. So if you go to sell the house tomorrow and it's gone up in value by $10,000.
Right.
Then you still have that $10,000.
That never changes.
It never goes anywhere.
But you know, remember when you went when you bought the house, remember all those papers you signed?
Right.
There's
like
thousands of papers. Well, on one of those papers in really tiny print that nobody probably explained, it gave the bank the right to sell your loan as many times as they want. And it happens all the time. I mean, literally sometimes it happens the day you close. The bank that gave you the money now has sold it to somebody else.
I've been up to three loan people already.
Yep.
Yeah, it's annoying, but it's unfortunately the way of the modern world.
The way of the market, the way it works.
They sell these loans like people sell used cars.
True.
Every
then they leave you to tell the tax people your information and even your insurance people.
Yeah. You have to notify everybody because the name has to change on the insurance documents and stuff of that nature.
It's a little bit of a hassle, and hopefully they do it all for you, but you can't count on that. So you got to make sure it's done.
All right,
Mary from Camden. Thanks for calling and listening to Court Radio. Have a great Sunday.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
Bye now. All right, let's talk to Timothy. Timothy has a restraining order. Yo, Tim, welcome to Court Radio.
Oh, yes, sir. How are you doing? Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. What's your question?
My question is that I've been with my woman for 25 years, and I had a game plan. And I've been wanting to marry her. She wants to get married. No problem. I fell in love with her 25 years ago, so I'm going to get right to the point. She started hearing voices in her head 25 years ago when I met her. So I didn't think anything of it. I just said, okay, let's see what's up. So She said she needed a paper right down, so she says, God's talking to me. I'm like, oh, okay, God's talking to you. So I never left her alone. She never hit me, never touched me, never hurt me. Not did anything to me at all until recently, from last year to this year, she started getting, like mood swings and all kinds of stuff was happening and everything else.
Yeah, well, that's why, the 25-year itch. It's the 25-year
Coupled with voices in your head.
And so did you get yourself a restraining order for this woman?
I didn't get a restraining order. Well, yeah, she's got one on her now, but let me explain what happened. She started saying stuff to me that didn't make any sense, that moved in our apartment complex and down the basement. They were white and black, just like we were, but we're 25 years older than them. And she says to me, I'll take that white boy right away from that black girl. I was just looking at her like she's crazy. A day later, she's walking around with a miniskirt on with no underwear with red lipstick. I said, what's wrong with you?
It sounds to me like she needs
some medical attention.
Yeah, psychiatric.
Yeah.
This is more a medical issue than it is a legal issue. And the next time you call in, I think the caller got disconnected, but the next time you call in, you need to get to the legal question.
My thought is...
David and I, while we were enthralled by the description,
right.
We are not qualified.
I was enthralled with the notion of how he couldn't marry her right away. I mean, sounded like a catch.
Well, yeah, but he was waiting 25 years to see if the psychiatric condition fulminated properly, and
okay.
Apparently it did. 215-227-2727. You know what? We're going to move on to our hot-button topic because we have a guest in the studio. He's joined us, and we have a guest on the warm line.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, folks, there's an issue that's been popping up more and more. And you know, when David and I see issues, we like to tackle them. And this issue is whether or not it's legal for your employer to insist upon your getting certain vaccinations in order to continue to remain employed. And the whole idea of if you don't get vaccinated, are you making the workplace or the school a sicker, bad place to be? And we're joined by Dr. Frederick Burton, MD, specialist in internal medicine. Good morning and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks. Thanks for joining us so early here.
You're welcome. It's an enjoyable occasion.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Burton is the medical director of the Burton Wellness and Injury Center and a specialist in internal medicine and a pioneer in the field of natural medicine cancer research since 1986. And on the warm line, we've got Barbara Lowe Fisher. Good morning, Barbara, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
This is the co-founder and president of the National Vaccine Information Center. So, folks, we're talking about vaccines. We're talking about making vaccines mandatory for employment and whether that's a good idea. I'm going to start with Barbara and ask you, let me ask you something. Is it your organization's position that vaccines are good or bad, work or don't work?
Well, we certainly don't take a black or white position on this issue. We take an informed consent position, and that is that you have the human right to be fully informed about the benefits and risks of a medical procedure or a pharmaceutical product, and vaccines are pharmaceutical products, and be able to make an informed voluntary decision about whether or not to take that product. In this country, vaccines are shielded. The drug companies who make and sell vaccines in this country are shielded from liability in civil court for vaccine injuries and deaths, as are pediatricians and any other medical worker who gives vaccines. It makes the informed consent principle extremely important with regard to vaccinations.
Well, there is a vaccine court, isn't there? There's a process by which somebody who claims to be injured from a vaccine can get some compensation. It isn't the typical civil justice system. You don't file suit, but you can make a claim if you've been injured.
Yes, I worked with Congress in the early 1980s on the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, which was to cover, to offer federal compensation for vaccines that are recommended by the federal government and mandated by the states. Our position was that there should be a choice, that you should either be able to go to lawsuit or be able to get federal compensation so that the system would work in the way it was intended to work. Unfortunately, Congress did pass what was basically an exclusive remedy system, and two out of three claimants to that system, that federal system, are turned away, even though about $3 billion has been awarded to children and adults who have been injured by state-mandated vaccines.
Yeah, I mean, David and I agree. It's never a good idea to deprive people of their civil rights to the civil justice system, because that's what makes things change, makes things mm-hmm. safer for everybody. Mm-hmm. To do otherwise just protects potentially or allows people to or companies to act in a negligent fashion. But, and without regard for the consequences of their acts.
But going back to what you said in the beginning, Dean, I think the start of this discussion is kind of based on the notion of do we put too much reliance on vaccines? Do they work? Do they pose a danger to the person getting the vaccine, at least at a level where there should be some personal choice as to whether you want to have one or not?
And for that, we're going to turn to Dr. Burton. Dr. Burton, what do you think? Are vaccines safe?
I think they are not.
They are not.
They are not.
So when I grew up, like, you stood in line at school and got that shot, the four-prong shot in your arm for
measles.
Mumps, measles.
That was smallpox.
Smallpox, yeah. Okay.
Which was always a worthless vaccine. But go ahead.
Okay. Is this a global opinion that all vaccines are worthless?
Are there any vaccines that are good?
None.
Okay, what is the basis? Why do you believe that?
I believe that because the basis of first of all, let's define terms, because that's one of the biggest misunderstandings there is.
I agree.
Vaccination, immunization are two different things.
Okay.
Vaccines are man-made substances that are injected into the body to try to induce an immune response in the body to protect them from future encounters with that particular organism. That's a vaccine.
Okay.
Immunization is what your body does to get you ready to fight off an organism.
So, gotcha.
Unfortunately, they've been made synonymous. People say immunization, they mean vaccination. It's not the same.
Let me address one, only because this comes to my mind as something that I think, and I don't know this because I'm not a doctor, but I think there's been empirical evidence over our history that it worked, and that would be polio. I'm under the understanding that polio was eradicated from the vaccine and from our society.
Polio is the absolute gold standard for the misunderstanding of the whole vaccine industry.
All right.
Polio was on its way out, as all most viruses that come in an epidemic form, they wear themselves out. To give you, for instance, I'm sure you traveled outside the country. And I'm sure you have seen the iron lungs and the wheelchairs at the airports where you landed of all the polio sufferers and victims who did not get the vaccines in their countries. And you say yourself, well, I'm being facetious, of course. I've traveled around the world. I haven't seen polio epidemics around the world. And I'm sure polio was not a United States disease only.
Okay.
So polio was on its way. As a matter of fact, I met Lee Salk, who was Jonas Salk's brother, back in the 80s, but the bottom last study here and there, but the point is this, that Salk and Sabin both came up with vaccines at this time that the virus and epidemic itself was wearing itself out. So because we had this massive vaccination at the time it was going away, polio got the misunderstanding that it was wiped out by the vaccination.
I see.
That's not true.
Okay.
What's the harm in getting a vaccination? What bad things happen to people who take the time to get vaccinated?
Well, there are vaccine injuries, which are not reported routinely. You don't hear about them on the news. I see them in my office. In fact, I know three people who have two children who are autistic. One is a physician who had two children who were twins who both became autistic after a vaccine shot. That's only one type of vaccine injury that occurs. My personal experience is I have a daughter who's now 38 who at 6 months old when I got her third set of vaccines, became injured from that vaccination and spent 10 days in intensive care unit at Brookdale Community Hospital in Brooklyn. And they told me that when she survived, she'll probably be retarded. And I started to pay attention to vaccines very closely then back in 1975. And I have had lots of experience understanding how this is the biggest misconception that's been ever put on humankind with respect to medicine.
Let me ask you, Barbara, join into the discussion here. Barbara Fisher, co-founder and president of the National Vaccine Information Center. First of all, how do people get in touch with you, Barbara, if they need to reach you or get some information from you?
We have the oldest and largest website, consumer-operated website, on the subject of vaccination on the Internet at NVIC.org. That's National Vaccine Information Center, NVIC.org. And also we have what we call the NVIC Advocacy Portal at NVICAdvocacy.org. What we're doing is we're working with consumers in the states to try to protect vaccine exemptions in state public health laws. Because right now, drug company lobbyists, medical trade lobbyists, public health lobbyists are going into the states and trying to take away the personal belief exemptions, including the religious and conscientious belief exemptions. They're also trying to narrow the medical exemption to vaccination. Almost nothing qualifies right now as a medical reason, officially recognized by the Centers for Disease Control, as a reason to defer vaccination for individuals. This is becoming a very oppressive implementation of these vaccine laws, and what we're trying to do is protect the right in America for individuals to have the freedom to make vaccine choices.
Right, so they're pushing, the drug companies are somewhat pushing their
agenda.
Products.
And they're liability-free, and this has become extremely difficult for people, even people who have children who have had vaccine reactions and have regressed into chronic poor health or disability, are unable to get a medical exemption. It's really become a very zealous pursuit of a 100% vaccination rate. And the thing that people don't realize is when my children were being vaccinated in the 1970s and 80s, the recommendation was 23 doses of 7 vaccines between 2 months and 6 years of age. Today, the CDC recommendation is 69 doses of 16 vaccines starting on the day of birth through age 18, with 49 doses of vaccines given before age 6, and 8 to 10 vaccines can be given on one day to a baby. This is a very different way that our children are experiencing the development of their immune system in the developmental period, and we've seen a tripling of the numbers of children who are chronically ill and disabled in the last 30 years in our country, because we use more vaccinations than any country in the world.
Barbara, what's the real number of that, though? I'm impressed by the fact that it's tripled, but how many people does that represent?
Does what represent?
When you say that there's triple the number of injuries from vaccines in a certain period of time, how many people are affected negatively? Do you have some sense of how many children are affected by this?
No, what I said was there's been a tripling of the numbers of children in our society who are chronically ill and disabled. I'm not saying that all of that is due to vaccinations. I'm saying that vaccinations cannot be left off the table when children are experiencing their environment in a very different way than they did 30 years ago. And, you know, the tripling of the numbers of vaccines that we're giving our children cannot be left out of trying to answer the question of why so many children are chronically ill now. They do not want to do the studies that will really give us the information. And those are studies that compare vaccinated and unvaccinated or partially vaccinated children.
Right.
They won't do those studies. And, you know, eventually, if they're talking about criminalizing vaccine refusal.
It seems to me, I don't have any hard and fast numbers, but it seems to me that autism especially is on the rise. It seems like there's a lot. Now, I don't know if it's just because there's a better diagnosis system in place today than there was 30 years ago, but it seems like there's a tremendous amount of children that have recently been diagnosed with the condition of autism. And it's very, you know, obviously it goes from the, you know, the most mild to the most severe, but it just seems like there's a lot of kids with autism that are being diagnosed lately.
No question. It was 1 in 10,000, about 1/3 of America is diagnosed with autism. 1 in 6 child in America is learning disabled. 1 in 9 has asthma. 1 in 400 develops diabetes. This is an unprecedented chronic disease and disability epidemic among our children. And we have to answer these questions now, but we certainly don't need more vaccines added. There are hundreds of vaccines being created by the drug companies. Many are going to be mandated in the future. We can't keep adding these vaccines without understanding the potential negative consequences.
Well, let me ask Dr. Burton to comment on that as well. And what is a parent to do if you're, you know, you're faced with this pressure to vaccinate and immunize and you don't know what to do?
Well, let me just I'm going to answer that question, but let me say a couple of things. One, there was no autism until vaccines, essentially. And in the countries that started to vaccinate, that's when they started to see autism. That's number one. The other thing is...
Wait, before you get to the other thing, we got to leave a little bit of a hook here. We've got to take a break for our sponsors' announcements. Folks, you're listening to Court Radio, and this is your opportunity to ask questions about our hot-button topic, which is vaccinations. What do I do? Do I have to get my child vaccinated? And also, any other legal questions you might have, you can give David and I a call at 215-227-2727 when we come back in 2 minutes.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our 3 convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident? With your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
If your child was injured at birth, if you were the victim of a medical mistake, or if you were hurt in a workplace or automobile accident, choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. We've collected over $100 million for our clients, and we won't stop until your future is secure. Call 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Welcome back to Court Radio.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
That's me. There you go. You can never stop the voices in your head.
There's one.
Well,
yeah.
There's a voice.
I'm sure you hear that one all the time. Need legal advice? Dean Weitzman.
You're listening to Court Radio. 215-227-2727 gets you in the door where you get to ask your legal question. And we're going to talk to Sharon from the wonderful little state of Delaware. Hello, Sharon, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. So you have a legal question for us?
Yes. I'm going to a deposition hearing, and I was wondering what happens after the deposition.
Okay.
After. Lawsuit that
at.
I have in.
Okay. Well, the deposition
did
is...
Did you say what happens at or after?
After.
After. So you don't need to know what happens at the deposition.
No.
Thank God. Thank God I clarified that, or we'd have to hear Dean explain the deposition.
Prepositions and propositions. Yeah. Okay, after the deposition, the defendant's attorney and your attorney will have a better idea of the case. They'll know what kind of witness you're going to make. Will you be a convincing witness? Are you articulate? Did you know what happened? And will you persuade the fact finder to decide in your favor? Or will you not? And so they'll get a better sense of the case and your damages and how it happened. After that, hopefully, after that, then they'll be talking about a resolution, a settlement, some sort of a positive outcome for everybody. So usually cases really the if it's going to settle, settlement begins to gear up after the deposition.
Because they were in violation with license inspection. They didn't have a railing going down the basement steps, and I fell.
Yeah, well, that happens, unfortunately, all too often. But they're going to want to know about other things besides the fact. It's clear that they're in violation, right? There was no railing.
Yes.
That's an easy thing. But they're going to want to know, how long did you know there was no railing? What was the lighting conditions that day? What injuries have you sustained? Were you ever injured like that before? There's a whole myriad of questions and topics that are still up for discussion at your deposition. And following that, and depending on how you answer it, there may be some conversations about a – and was this fall in Delaware? Okay. You know, there's special laws that are only in Delaware that protect homeowners. It's craziness, but it's true. So anyway, there's going to be a whole lot of information that's going to get exchanged. And after that deposition, hopefully your lawyer will be in a better position to discuss a resolution of some sort, and hopefully to your liking. Thanks for calling Court Radio. All right, Barbara, take care and have a great Sunday.
Thanks.
David.
Yes.
We're back.
We are.
And I'm on the edge of my seat. Dr. Burton was just about to explain how or what a new parent should do when their child is born, about the pressure that is brought to bear almost immediately for vaccinations. What do they do?
Well, this kind of piggybacks on what you just said to the caller with respect to the laws in Delaware. The reason I didn't go to law school and went to medical school is because I like for the law to be the same universally. And, you know, as one lady told me when she became the first black surgeon in the South, she said, I went into surgery because once you learn the body, it doesn't change. Well, in Pennsylvania, you're fortunate enough to be able to sign an exemption form, and your child is out of it with respect to public schools. Now, you could get into trouble in parochial schools or private schools. In fact, I had to fight the Archdiocese of Philadelphia a few years ago. They tried to force a young boy to have the swine flu vaccine. You remember the swine flu?
That
virus was going to have people dying in the streets a few years ago?
Right.
I'm still waiting for my first swine flu case. But at any rate, this young boy was being told he couldn't attend school if he didn't. So I had to fight with the Archdiocese. And they said, well, we're not obligated by the same laws. The state of Pennsylvania allows people to exempt out of the public schools. So I asked them, would you be willing to sign an affidavit accepting full responsibility for any vaccine injury? They wouldn't do that. I said, well, if you won't do that, then let the boy go to school. They relented and let the boy go to school. But so you're in a battle with the private sector.
Right.
And public sector, you can get out. Now, that's where I'm glad we had this discussion this morning, because the question is, with respect to employment, is it legal? And that's what I wanted to talk to you about, because I've had many patients come to me who are either nurses or janitors, but I've never had a physician come to me and say, you know, I have to get a shot because if I don't, they'll revoke my hospital privileges at whatever hospital. It's never for doctors that I know of, but it's always for underlings or the peons of the system. So is it actually legal in the state of Pennsylvania to force employees to get vaccinated?
Yes, as long as you're not doing it in a discriminatory fashion.
It's just a condition of employment, really. It's looked at that way, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any special mandate.
There's the protected classes that, you know, race, religion, color, creed, national origin, that the Supreme Court of the United States accepts, and you can't violate one's rights based on those criteria. Just about anything else in the world is permitted, and you can be let go for a bad reason, no reason, or a good reason. And as long as it's, again, you're not doing it, you're not just saying, well, only women doctors have to get it, or only if you then encroach upon a protected aspect of one's being, then there's going to be a problem. But as long as it's not done in that fashion, I don't see any reason why Commonwealth would forbid that.
Well, see, that's my point. Are physicians, and I'm not...
physicians aren't a protected class. I know sometimes you guys think you are, but...
Well, that's my point. My point is, I don't know of any physicians who've ever told me they were forced to get a vaccine. I just heard that Dr. Oz said on one of his shows that he was forced to get, but I don't know of any other physicians personally who were forced to get a vaccination as a result of their employment.
Well, from what we've been hearing with these, at least I get the sense of, and I just get the sense from being a citizen, you hear the flu, you got it every year now. You must get your flu shot.
You don't believe in flu shots either, Dr. Burton?
Flu shots are probably the second most ridiculous vaccination that ever man has ever come up with. And the reason for that is simply this. The flu vaccine policies that we have today totally defy the concept of immunology. In other words, if you said to me, Doc, I'd like to develop a vaccine for AIDS, I say, no problem. Let's develop a particular vaccine that will protect the body against AIDS. Not all diseases, AIDS. So it has to be for AIDS only. Well, the reason why we don't have an AIDS vaccine is because the AIDS virus is always changing. Well, guess what?
So does the flu.
Right.
But we have flu vaccines all ready to go in the summer, and the flu hasn't even shown up yet. And we don't know what kind of flu is going to. Now, if you ask the
experts. What are
we
vaccinating against, last year's flu?
If you ask the experts, what they'll say is we have a guesstimation, which totally is against the laws of immunology. We guesstimated what's going to come down the pike in the fall and the winter. So we've got it already, and all of the drugstores have it already. If you call the drugstore, they'll tell you in their spiel, hey, come and get your flu shot.
Right.
What's the harm, though, in getting a flu shot if you're sticking a dead virus in your body? And, so maybe I spent, $20 for a flu shot that it's going to do me no good, but will it do me harm?
Well, they're not all dead, and they do you harm in many instances. I've had several patients, although this is denied by the establishment, I've had several patients that they never got this sick. Never got the flu until they got the flu shot.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, I think it gives it to you because it has to build your immunization up to that particular virus.
That's one of the ideas, isn't it? If your immune system is weakened, you can come down with something. That's correct.
Yes, my point in bringing that up was, I think it's going to be more prevalent that these issues are going to come up with doctors. Like you said, you heard Dr. Oz say it, but you never had a doctor. I think, say that they were required. I think in the future, if this mindset continues to grow the way it's growing, you're going to have that.
Exactly.
You're going to have hospitals saying, hey, you can't work here unless you get all these these vaccinations. So
let's go to a caller. They're lined up on hold, so let's get some calls taken care of here. We've got some business to do. We're Court Radio. Got to answer some legal questions. Tony from Oak Lane, welcome to Court Radio. Tony.
Sounds like the ocean, doesn't it?
Yeah. Hi, Tony. How are you, bud? Tony's got us on hold or something.
No, like he was coming to the phone, I think.
A speakerphone thing.
Did you hang up on him?
Tony? Oh, Tony.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, we're here.
Yes, sir.
All right, lower your...
I want to answer your question, but
you got to get us off the speakerphone.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
Bye.
All right, go ahead.
If someone hit the lottery and gave you some money and they already paid the taxes on it, do you have to pay taxes on the money that they gave you?
No, not usually. And what they're giving you is
a gift. Right. They have to pay a gift tax.
They may have to pay a gift tax if it's over a certain amount.
I think it's a yearly amount.
Let me give you a number. Let's say like $500,000.
Oh yeah. There's gonna be.
I think gifts are a million. There's a amount that one person can give over a lifetime or over a year's period, where they have to pay a tax or at least notify the IRS of it.
Yeah, but this is more an accounting question, and
yeah.
And
we're lawyers.
and it changes all the time. As David said, there's a number. If it's less than that number, you don't have to worry about gift taxes because there's an exemption.
Right.
But that number changes probably regularly, annually or semi-annually, and you really need to check with an accountant in order to make sure that you're not over that limit. But there is a limit. You're probably under it. That allows you to take a gift from somebody tax-free. Now, it's a different story if they share their winnings with you.
Well,
and they
yeah,
say,
that's different.
And they say, okay, you're going to pay the taxes on your winnings, and I'm going to pay the taxes on my winnings. They didn't pay the taxes.
Right.
I'm presuming that they already paid the taxes on their $500,000 that they gifted to you. And then, as I said,
right.
you wouldn't be obligated. But if the deal was that they're going to give it to you pre-tax, then you would be obligated. So
No. This would be one lump sum. It's already taxed. And then that person is given family.
Yeah.
Money.
Well, then they've already paid the tax, and as long as you're under the gift tax exemption, you're fine. Check with an accountant as to that particular amount for the gift tax exemption, and you'll be on the right side of the law. Tony, thanks for calling Court Radio. And hey, if you need advice on how to spend that $500,000, you can give us a call here. All right. Take care, sir. All right, let's hit one more here. We're gonna try Katrina on line 5. Larry, hey Katrina, welcome to Court Radio.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
What's your issue?
My name's Katrina.
Hi Katrina, what's your question?
My question is, I went to rent a property back in July, and when I went to go see the property, I told the guy I had liked it and, you know, some work needs to be done. So I gave him my $25 fee, did the application. He said, you know, I qualified and I can rent the property. So when I went there the second time to sign the papers, he wasn't there. His mom was there. So as I was, you know, walking through and taking pictures, I said, you know, there was a crack in the seal and I said, is this going to be prepared? She's like, I don't know. You have to talk to him. So any, like, in the house, when you move into a home, I don't expect it to be, like, extra clean, but it was filthy, as if whoever lived there last, when they moved, the people, they never cleaned it or whatever. So, you know, I was asking her, is it going to be clean? Is it going to be painted? She couldn't answer any of my questions, so I told her, I said, well, I don't feel comfortable giving you my deposit, especially if you're not going to get your deposit back, if you decide not to accept the property. So a few weeks went by. And the son had reached out to me, and he took a picture and showed me that he fixed the crack in the ceiling, and he had put carpet down in the master bedroom. So when I went back and I spoke with him, everything was still the same except that the crack that he fixed in the ceiling and the carpet that he put on the floor.
So I said, putting a Band-Aid on a mortal wound. But what is the question, Katrina?
The question is, when I went back and he says to me that, you know, we talked, and this was verbally, he said that it was going to be painted, everything was going to be clean. Whatever I requested of him, we did a walkthrough, and he stated that it was going to be taken care of. I said, okay, fine.
What was the place like on the day?
And then you signed, and then you went in, and it wasn't, and it's all verbal.
You signed the contract.
And I signed the paper, and I gave him my money.
Right. Yeah.
And then when I did the second walkthrough to make sure everything was done, nothing was done.
Here's what I don't understand, Katrina. Here's what I don't understand first, just to preamble this. You seem, by your story, so concerned all throughout this about what he was going to do. And then when he told you he was going to do it, you signed papers and you didn't have him write down that he was going to do it.
Well, okay.
And don't you see the fundamental flaw in that logic?
But even
because that's
assume for a moment that that's not a flaw for a second.
Okay.
What can you monetize what it cost you? What did you?
$875.
Okay. So
and I feel as though I signed papers under false pretense because you said that.
Yeah,
you
but
were
see,
do this,
here,
papers didn't say.
Here's your lesson for the rest of the 10,000 listeners who are listening to the show today. Here's the lesson: write it down. Don't sign anything if you have an understanding between you and another person and you're entering into a contract and something's important to you, make sure it's in the contract.
Didn't we learn, Dean, in law school, real estate contracts having to do with real estate, everything has to be in writing?
Absolutely.
So, and but this goes really for any contract almost. If the contract says, I'm going to give you X, Y, and Z, and you're going to pay me X, Y, and Z, and it doesn't say, but I'm going to also clean and do the da, 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 then the fact that you, there are no false pretenses, because you signed a paper that said, I'm paying you for this, and it doesn't say you're going to clean all this stuff. So it
but
has to be in writing.
That's the lesson. The lesson is, and you've learned the lesson, and it's not that expensive of a lesson. You learned an $875 lesson. That's not so bad. It could have been $800,000. We've seen that too, or $8 million.
And if it affected the
habitability.
The habitability, I couldn't get that word
out. I knew you.
If it affected that, then there would be
it's that vaccine you took, David.
Right. Way back when. I still have the scar from that.
It's that vaccine. It's your mind is clouded.
That would be a little different.
Katrina, thanks for calling Court Radio. Sorry we couldn't give you better news, but you know, you did teach a lesson to the other listeners. Write it down. If it's important, it has to be in the contract. If it's not, it doesn't exist.
Okay.
All right. She sounds disappointed.
Well, I understand that.
Yeah, I understand it too, but that's the way it is. Let's get back to topic here.
Yeah.
Dr. Burton?
Yes.
Okay. Do you offer something to somebody if they say, okay, Dr. Burton, I'm going to buy into your theory?
Yes.
Can he address the... One of the things we talked about, just very briefly, we talked off the air. Have vaccinations been proven to work? And you had a comment on that.
They have not. They're not studied like normal medications. As the
that's what Barbara
said.
Said,
right?
I think she's Barbara. You're still on the line, aren't you?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. You're so quiet. You're like a little mouse over there. where are you anyway?
I'm actually right now in a hotel. I was at a conference here in New Jersey, Mahwah, New Jersey.
Okay, Mahwah. Mahwah. That's where, you know, it's Chris Christie's land, and he has definitely been vaccinated for everything. You can tell.
So anyway, FDA doesn't approve vaccination. Is there a process that goes through to make sure they're safe, or is it all governed under a quote unquote vaccination portal rather than?
Well, the FDA is the regulatory agency that is supposed to be holding high standards for proof of safety and effectiveness of these vaccines before they're licensed. Unfortunately, there has been a lowering of those standards. We have clinical trials now that the drug companies present that don't contain, where they haven't used a true placebo. They've used an active placebo, sometimes an ingredient that's in the experimental vaccine, which is, you know, wouldn't pass an eighth grade science class test.
Right.
They whitewash the study populations so that nobody who is sick at the time of vaccination or has had a previous vaccine reaction or has a history of autoimmunity or neurological problems, you know, is in the study, and yet after the vaccine is licensed, it's applied to everyone. There's some real problems, I think, with the standards that the FDA has right now. And part of that is that Congress has passed legislation that formalizes a private partnership with the pharmaceutical industry in the last 15 years, so that these vaccines are now being fast-tracked. There are even quotas that the FDA is supposed to meet within certain time periods and fast-track these vaccines, like Gardasil, Merck's Gardasil vaccine, the first HPV vaccine was fast-tracked. So, I mean, I always say you can't drive fast and safe. We really need to have higher standards when these vaccines are produced.
The question I had for the panel is, what if people don't want to get vaccinated? What are their options? Dr. Burton, what do you say to that?
It depends upon this situation. For instance, if you are not forced by if you're an adult and you're not forced by your employer, then you have no situation that I know of, unless you're in the military, which again is an employer situation.
So you're not.
You have to get a vaccine.
But the question is, if you're, are you then? Is there some other medical or holistic thing that you should be doing to protect yourself from all these bad diseases that are going to take over your body?
Yeah, be healthy, right?
Eat
healthy.
Understand, vaccines are designed to protect us against things we should be protecting ourselves against in the first place. We should be eating very well. We should be cleaning ourselves very well. We should be doing those things that will promote good health. And if you look at most of the diseases that these vaccines are designed to prevent, they're usually the people who are victims are usually people who have defective immune systems or live in unsanitary conditions, chronic conditions, and that sort of thing. So we need to be improving the health of society in a way that's more clearly obvious than giving people vaccines and hoping that one day they'll come into a situation where they'll be protected from a disease.
How come, based upon what Barbara says, what you've said, all this evidence that you have as a doctor,
yes,
which seems a lot of it, obviously, from what you've studied, but a lot of it is just common sense, really, I think.
Absolutely.
Why is there, has there not been a movement from the medical community? It would seem to me that doctors would be outraged by this because you are dedicated to serving the health and of the human body. If you see that this is such a ridiculous thing, why hasn't the medical, you know, the AMA, all of them come together and said, stop this nonsense?
Doctors are trying to pay back their student loans.
Right.
And the medical profession is governed by the high priest of the pharmaceutical industry.
Right.
And they make more money than God. And when you have a situation where you can mandate a medication, you have a wonderful, wonderful
business model.
That's right. Yeah. It's the best business model there is.
Right.
And that's the reason why vaccines are still popular and being used.
All right, we have to wrap up, and I'm unfortunately tasked with that job. So
okay.
I want to just get so people can get in touch with people. I want to make sure that we get this out there before we go off the air. Barbara Lowe Fisher, co-founder and president of the National Vaccine Information Center. She's got information to help people make better informed decisions. You can reach out to Barbara at NVIC.org. NVIC.org. Is there any other way people can reach you, Barbara?
That's the best way. That will get anybody in touch with us.
Okay. So if you want to get some good information about vaccines and what they're all about, you can reach out to her website. Again, it's NVIC.org. Barbara, thanks for joining Court Radio this morning, and I wish you the best. And
thank you.
Get out of New Jersey as quickly as possible. All right. We have Dr. Burton is in the studio, and Doctor, is there some way for patients to get in touch with you if they need to reach out and talk to you about what you know about vaccines and what their harms are?
Yes. My office number is 610-649-4325. That's 610-649-4325. Right down on City Avenue, right down past Haverford.
Okay.
And we have the forms in the office to provide exemption from the public school system.
I want to thank you for joining us today. It was a pleasure having you, and you really opened my eyes. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't think people even have thought about this in a way, you know, that it seems so logical and common sense to me now, you know, what you're saying.
As I say, vaccines make wonderful sense if you don't know any better.
Right.
And folks, if you have questions that didn't get answered, please reach out to us during the week at 215-227-2727. I know that a lot of folks wanted me to review their insurance documents last week for auto insurance to make sure you got the right policies. The best way to do that is to have it scanned and email me at dean@myphillylawyer.com. Dean@myphillylawyer.com. I'll be happy to take a look at those contracts and let you know if I think that they can be tightened up or improved upon. And last but not least, next week, next Saturday, David, is the Bread of Life Luncheon in New Jersey. Our girl, Lil Daniels. Lil is going to be hosting her annual Bread of Life Luncheon. It's probably a sellout already, but if you want to see me and get a chance to talk to me in person, you can always get a ticket to the Bread of Life Luncheon. And
is there a website, breadoflife.com?
I think it is breadoflife.com. Yeah.
If you Google Bread of Life,
you'll get it. Bread of Life and Lil Daniels. There you go. So, all right, we're done for today, and we hope to see you next Sunday, same time, same place. Peace.
For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-5 Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Are you in a financial legal squeeze? Unable to work because of an accident with your legal case still not settled? Lawsuit Funding Solutions can help you pay the bills while you wait. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 877-697-7352. It can take time for a lawsuit to settle. Lawsuit Funding Solutions is here to help you get back on track. And you won't owe them a thing if your case doesn't settle or you don't receive a judgment. Get out of the squeeze today. Call 877-697-7352.
I'm Dean Weitzman from My Philly Lawyer. If you've been the victim of a medical mistake, getting proper care matters. Understanding your rights matters. And getting just compensation that provides for your future matters. That's why your attorney matters. If you're suffering because of a serious medical mistake, call My Philly Lawyer at 215-227-2727. Choosing the right legal representation is critical to getting the compensation you deserve. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.